Okay, so this is the last session now. What we're going to do this session is I'm just going to talk very, very briefly about thought transformation. Again, I'd encourage, if people aren't familiar with this, I'd encourage you to explore this further. And there's a very, very good description actually in the Kathleen McDonald book again, How to Meditate, which I've already recommended several times. There's a nice description of this. But teachings on thought transformation, which in Tibetan is called Lojong, these are actually very, very effective practices, and they particularly suggest ways that we can utilise apparently negative situations in a positive way from the point of view of our practice and transforming our mind positively. It's one of the things I love about the Dharma, and as I say, I think this applies to other spiritual systems as well, and some secular systems as well. But whatever's happening to us, and however negative it might appear, there is always some good we can take out of it, you know, from a Buddhist point of view. It doesn't mean it's not going to just, this isn't just going to wipe the problem away or suddenly, you know, totally overcome your upset or so on. But it does mean there's always something positive we can do. There are various different presentations of Lojong teachings. A very, very common one is called the Eight Verses. And there's a very, very good presentation on that, as again, in the Kathleen McDonald book. And there's a lovely meditation in there actually incorporating it within a Chen Reising, the Buddha of Compassion visualization practice of applying the Eight Verses, which again, I'd really encourage people to look at if you have access to that book. Another common presentation is called the 7-point mind training, which is another one you might hear of. And if you really want to go more deeply into thought transformation, there's a wonderful text called The Wheel of Sharp Weapons, which I know Claire's familiar with because we've studied it together on the basic program. I found that incredibly inspiring. And it offers all sorts of approaches you can apply in a whole range of different situations in life. Initially to take more responsibility yourself, and then to actually transform it and turn it around and bring it into the path, which is what it's all about, really. There are different things represented in different approaches within the whole idea of thought transformation. Most of these, one way or another, we've actually touched on. Either with some of the discussion you've had and the points you've made, or some of the things I've been saying. I mean, for instance, if we're experiencing something we find difficult, we're encouraged to think, well, this is a really, really good time to catch my exaggerated notion of I, to catch self-centered attachments and aversion arising, you know, so I can change them, to develop qualities like patience, love, and compassion. True love and compassion, in the way we were just talking about, and patience, are much, much easier in situations and people that we generally get on easily with. So when we're presented with difficult situations or people we find difficult, this is when we can really, really test those things, with things like patience and love and compassion and so on. There are also things within thought transformation, which again, I think if applied properly, can be very, very effective, but we do have to be very, very careful. I'm going to say it again. I've banged on about it a lot during this course. But again, the importance of being gentle with yourself and realistic. Yeah. And not letting other people trash you. I've said several times, Buddhism does not encourage doormat syndrome. Yeah, letting people treat you like crap, treat you like a doormat. That can actually be very, very damaging. And particularly if we're somebody who can be a bit prone to that, and some of us are at different times, and some people are more prone to that with others, just be very, very wary of not misapplying some of the thought transformation teachings. It's kind of to kind of enable that and let it to carry on and get worse. I'll just give an example. I mean, there's one that's in the Eight Verses that talks about when you're encountering difficult people, see yourself as the lowest of all in that situation. Now, if it's applied properly, that could actually be quite effective practice. Yeah, and it can help you almost disengage sometimes from difficult situations. It talks as well about giving other people the victory, you know, in that particular situation. But we have to be very skillful and careful when we apply those things. And that's a question of being honest with yourself. I mean, I can't tell anybody what would be right for them in a given situation. There are some situations I find that very, very effective. I mean, a kind of trivial one sometimes is if you get in the kind of situation with a group of friends where there's a difference of opinion about what you want to do that evening, what restaurant you want to go to, what film you want to go and see or something like that. Sometimes applying something like that then and just stepping out of it, I just think, no, I'll go along with what the others want. It doesn't really matter to me. Can be very, very helpful. That's just an easy time when that's easy. And there are other situations where people have been really horrible to us when I found that very, very helpful. Sometimes in our job for the National Trust, we had to deal with people who were acting inappropriately in the grounds, particularly at night. And sometimes they, even no matter how kindly you try and do it, people don't always react very well. I never enjoyed those kinds of situations, but I found some of the stuff on thought transformation actually very, very helpful. And I would still carry on dealing with the problem and getting them to leave, but it would kind of change my attitude to it and bring a kind of humility and acceptance, you know, so I didn't sort of react back and get caught up in the situation. But we do have to be careful with that, as I say. I've gone on about a lot the last 2 days, but it is very, very important. Yeah. And I mean, as we progress on the path, we get more and more capable of doing that. I mean, there are very inspiring stories about bodhisattvas who are like highly realized beings, Buddhist saints, really, making incredible acts of self-sacrifice, obviously, on behalf of other beings. I mean, actually giving their lives and their body and things like that. And they're very, very inspiring, those stories. But if we're honest, we're not really at the point yet where we can, where probably we, you know, we can practice in that way without it being harmful to ourselves and our own minds. So you have to be honest with yourself and realistic. Okay, are there any questions on anything I've just said before I move on? No? Okay. Right, what I thought we will concentrate on this session, I'm going to do a practice called Tonglen, which is taking, which literally translates, that's the Tibetan as taking and giving. This follows on very naturally from the practice, love practice, really, that Sarah did. The emphasis here is more on compassion. And a sincere wish to take away problems and difficulties and suffering from others. But it's, as I say, compassion and love are very much related. Obviously, I define quite clearly what they meant in the last session. This is often practiced in conjunction with thought transformation, which is why I'm going to do it here. It's also a very, very important practice when it comes to developing bodhicitta. Now, I explained this morning what bodhicitta was. It's very, very important within Mahayana Buddhism, of which Tibetan Buddhism is a part, bodhicitta. And it's that altruistic intention to become enlightened so we can benefit other sentient beings. And from a Mahayana point of view, we try to make this our motivation for everything we do. And there are various techniques for developing that. And this practice is an important part of one of those, Tonglen. And it's all about turning self-centeredness around, this practice. When I do the practice, what we're going to be doing is similarly as we did with Sarah, with the love meditation, we're going to start with ourselves. Then we're going to move on to people we naturally feel close to, like friends. Then we're going to move on to people we actually have problems with. And eventually we'll move on to incorporate every sentient being in reality, and you'll see that happens quite naturally as we do the practice. A lot of whom we probably don't have that strong feeling to either way. Talk about feeling more neutral towards them. Again, as I explained with the love, it's very, very important to start this practice with yourself. This is how Geshe Tashi taught it to me. It's not always taught like this, but I think it's a really good place to start. Again, it's very, very important that we can feel compassion and kindness towards ourselves. I think that's kind of the starting point. And for a lot of people, that can be the most difficult stage, funnily enough. But it's really, really important that we start with that. And then as we incorporate people that we naturally feel warmly towards. Another reason for that, similarly with the loved one, is it grounds it in real emotion and real feeling. There's a danger of it being very, very heady, otherwise, just very surface. So we're really keying into real feelings. So really try and think about yourself and actual people you know, and have a really sincere wish to help them overcome their problems. We'll then start extending that outwards and to incorporate people that we find more difficult. Then it can become tricky. But as I said, please try and think about actual people if you can. That's for your benefit. It's just it makes it a lot more effective if you can do that. If it starts becoming really tricky at that stage, and it can, as I say, often that's a good sign because it shows it's real. We're kind of really checking our actual feelings. Work with that as well as you can. If it starts getting unsettling, though, and it can if you're experiencing real big problems with a particular person, just pull back again a bit. You can pull back to yourself and your friends. If we can generate really sincere compassion just for ourselves and our friends, that's a really, really good starting point for all of this. So it's fine that sometimes you can just do the practice like that. If you find it's particularly difficult with yourself, just do sessions just working on that. It's working on that and then start extending it outwards. Now, the only other thing I want to explain before we do the practice is I'm going to talk about a dark space in our hearts. And what we imagine as we're doing the practice, there's a little visualization with this, that we're taking all problems and difficulties away from others in the form of thick black smoke. But that enters this dark space at our heart that represents a self-centered mind, uprooting it. And as we breathe out, that dark space transforms into brilliant light. You can use whatever colour you like, what feels natural to you. I usually say white light, that's up to you. And then that goes out, filling all these other beings' bodies and minds and giving them every happiness and positive quality. So we're imagining that this, as well as bringing us more, again, in line with that connection with others, which is a big part of this practice, if you can bring that understanding of emptiness and interdependence to it, it's a lot more effective. But it's helping to turn around and uproot the self-centered mind. As we looked at yesterday, it's actually self-centeredness that's at the root of our own problems and difficulties, as well as limiting our ability to help others. So in that sense, if we keep persevering with these practices, it's win-win. You benefit as well as putting you in a better position to benefit others. But there are actually two aspects to the self-centered mind, which I'll explain now. The first one we've already looked at, and it's usually defined as self-grasping ignorance. That's what we talked about yesterday, is the root cause of our problems and difficulties of samsara, from a Buddhist point of view, if you're familiar with the term psychic existence. That self-grasping, which is that grasping onto this, the I, as being something more permanent, more fixed, more independent, more inherent than is actually the case. Now, that's the one. The other type of aspect of self-centeredness is called self-cherishing. This is the attitude that is primarily concerned with one's own happiness and isn't so concerned with the happiness of others. And that's self-cherishing. Generally, it's said that the wisdom side of the path, which is the teachings on emptiness and selflessness that I've referred to, is the main antidote to the self-grasping ignorance. The method side of the path, and particularly compassion and love, is the main antidote to the self-cherishing. It's not quite as simple as that, because these things are working together, actually, and they're very much interdependent, they're working together. But it's quite good to be aware of that. When we talk about overcoming self-cherishing, though, as I say, which is this attitude that's more concerned with your own happiness, not concerned with others, the idea isn't to completely lose sight of your own happiness. We might do that as a means to an end at certain stages in the practice, but the idea is to reach a point where you automatically care about others' suffering as much as you do your own. It is still, you still matter, and it's important to keep saying that, you matter. And you have to start with yourself. His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, often says that if we don't understand our own suffering, we can't really understand other people's suffering. It's very, very important, man. I think that's enough blah-blah for me, and I think we'll just do the practice now. And we'll have plenty of time for discussion on this afterwards. So I'll ask people to share experiences with it or any questions when we get to the end. So let's get ourselves nice and comfy. And firstly, check your posture. Just make sure you're nice and comfy. Everything's nice and loose and relaxed. Let's just check our spine is nice and straight if we can. And again, it's really important you do this without forcing it. As I suggested at the start yesterday, you can just imagine your vertebrae as a pile of pound coins, stack one on top of the other. Starting at the base and working upwards. And as I suggested yesterday, you can just imagine somebody's just tugging very gently at the top of your head. There's a bit of string attached to the top of your head. Just very, very slightly stretching your spine. Again, without forcing it. And then just relax back into the posture. As I mentioned yesterday, if our back isn't straight, A, it's not very comfortable for a period of time because I'm constantly having to use muscles to readjust. But it also has a bearing on the way subtle energies move around the body. They're intimately connected to our states of mind. And it's not being soothing that. I think straight away, if our spine is nice and straight, we have a much more feeling of openness and expansiveness. It's important when we're doing all our practices that, but it's particularly important when we're doing visualization practices and practices like that. Again, your head tilted forward slightly. Make sure you're not clenching your jaw. Teeth should just come together. Tip of your tongue, the roof of your mouth. Just behind the front two top teeth, just to stop saliva building up. And ideally, your eyelids just be coming together, so there's still a little bit of light coming through. But if you find that distracting, it's okay to close them. And one other thing I'll say before we go into the actual practice, it's really important that you're comfortable. And we've been sat together for quite a long time now. Some of us are more used to sitting than others. If at any point you need to stretch, just do it. But do it mindfully. Just keep your mind on the meditation while you're doing it. But it's much, much more important that you're nice and comfy, you can try and enjoy the practice, than it is to sit motionless for a period of time. Firstly, turn your attention to the natural rhythms of your breathing. You can focus at that point of the nostrils as we did this morning. Or lower down the body if you find that more comfortable. Just do a few rounds, just keeping your mind placed on your breathing. Just to settle yourself down. Get your attention more fully in the present moment. Okay, so firstly, you're going to bring yourself to mind. There's two ways you can do this. You can imagine yourself just sitting where you're exactly where you are. Or if you have found it more helpful, you can imagine just sitting yourself just sitting a few yards in front of you, facing you. Doesn't matter. Just do which feels more comfortable. Bring to mind some of the problems that you're facing day to day. It can be some of those things we talked about in the previous session, particular problems you feel you have. It could be particular situations you're finding troublesome at the moment. I mean, a lot of people are having to deal with all sorts of things now at the moment. What's going on in the world at large? We're all affected by that. Worries about health, mortality. Worries about money, about our job, our financial security. Really try and bring to mind some specific problems you feel you'd like to reduce. Now we do this on the breath, just try to breathe quite deeply, but don't force it too much. Just breathe naturally. As you breathe in, you imagine you're taking those problems and difficulties away from yourself in the form of thick black smoke. Which enters that dark space at your heart, which represents self-centered mind. Uprooting that instantly transforms into beautiful, blissful white light. As you breathe out, that white light emanates from your heart, totally filling your body and mind. Giving you bliss, happiness, and every positive quality. Those qualities of enlightenment, wisdom, love, compassion, skillful action, skillful means, and so on. Now, so again, as you breathe in, you imagine you're taking all those problems and difficulties away from yourself in the form of thick black smoke, which enters that dark space of the heart, the self-centered mind, totally uprooting that. That dark space transforms into beautiful, brilliant, blissful white light. As you breathe out, that light emanates from your heart, completely filling your body and your mind, giving you every happiness, every positive quality. Do that for a few rounds. Now imagine somebody sat just in front of you, a few yards away, facing you, but you naturally feel very close to. It could be a partner, it could be a mother, your father, brother, sister, close friend, it could be a spiritual teacher, but somebody you naturally just feel warm towards. Could be a friend who's experiencing particular problems at the moment with health or other concerns. I try and think of an actual person sat there just in front of you, facing you. Bring to mind some of the specific problems and difficulties this person's facing. As you know them, you're probably aware of some specific problems they have. Bring those to mind. Even if we're not aware of specific problems, you can bet they'll be facing similar problems to yourself and every other sentient being. Worries about health, mortality, security, emotional security. Some of our cases, financial security. Now, as you breathe in, you imagine you're taking those problems and difficulties away from this person, again in the form of thick black smoke, which again enters that dark space in the center of your heart. It's actually the heart chakra, that which is actually just behind the heart itself, just in front of the spinal column. Utterly uprooting the self-centered mind, that dark space then explodes into beautiful, blissful white light. And as you breathe out, that white light goes out in front, totally filling this person's body and mind, taking away their problems and difficulties, imbuing them with bliss and happiness. And again, every positive quality, love, compassion, wisdom, skillful action, and so on. Do that for a few rounds with this particular person. Now you can imagine perhaps a few more people initially just in front of us that we feel closely towards. Think of other friends and family. Again, try and think of actual people. Can they join this other person in front of you? Again, you can bring some of their specific problems and difficulties to mind. Again, you can be sure they're experiencing similar problems to the rest of us as well. Kind of problems that are inevitably part of an enlightened existence, we all experience. And again, as you breathe in, you imagine you're taking these problems and difficulties away from them in the form of thick black smoke. It enters that dark space at the heart, representing the self-centered mind. So we're uprooting that. Explodes into beautiful, brilliant white light, then pours out from your heart, filling these beings' bodies and minds, filling them with bliss and happiness, every positive quality, love, compassion, wisdom. So, just do that for a few rounds. Okay, before we continue with the practice, I'll just encourage anybody who feels like it would be helpful here just to have a little stretch. But while you're doing it, just don't lose sight of the meditation. Keep your mind on the meditation and carry on breathing in and out as we were. And that little visualization going. And now we're going to imagine, again, a person in front of those friends and family members that we've just been visualising. Imagine a person that you actually experience problems and difficulties with. There can be a whole range of these. It could be somebody in our family, somebody at work, difficult neighbour. It could just be somebody we had a one-off encounter with recently who was very, very rude or unpleasant to us. But again, try and think of an actual person. And if you are aware of any, recall some of their specific problems and difficulties to mind. If it's a family member, you might be aware of some. If somebody you don't know very well, you might not. But bring things to mind if you are aware of them. Can help problems with money, work, loneliness, relationships, so on. And we can be sure, even if we don't know this person, they do share certain things with ourselves and our friends and our family. They want to be happy, they want to avoid suffering. That's very, very natural. They're not necessarily going about things in the right way to achieve that. Again, just like us sometimes, due to ignorance and the other afflictions, delusions. I mean, if people have a lot of negative energy, of course, that's often a sign that they're going through a lot of internal problems. They're not really very happy deep down. I think we all know that. And that's one way we can think about this. It'd be great if this person was actually happier. They'd be less troublesome to ourselves and others, as well as happier themselves. And it would certainly be good if they were imbued with all the positive qualities we're trying to develop through our practice, love, compassion, wisdom. So again, as we breathe in, imagine you're taking all those problems and difficulties away from this person, again in the form of thick black smoke. Again, entering that dark space at the heart. Representing the self-centered mind, uprooting that as that explodes into beautiful, brilliant white light. And again, as you breathe out, that white light goes out from your heart. Totally filling this person's body and mind along with these other people you've been visualizing. Imbuing them with true happiness, bliss, and every positive quality. Love, compassion, wisdom, so on. And just work with that for a few rounds, concentrating particularly on this person that you find difficult. Try as sincerely as you can to really wish them happiness. Those are the positive qualities we've talked about. Okay, now we're going to imagine this little retinue in front of us is being joined by more and more sentient beings. And we can bring to mind now beings that we perhaps don't necessarily feel that strongly about one way or another. Which is a lot of the people we probably come into contact with in our lives and passing, people we meet in shops and passing the street and so on. Imagine these beings are joining us, and not just in front of us, to our right and our left, behind us. Again, reflect how, as long as these beings are unenlightened, you can be pretty sure they're experiencing similar problems to the rest of us. Concerned about mortality, about health, emotional security, financial security, and so on. And again, as we breathe in, we imagine we're taking those problems and difficulties away from these beings in the form of thick black smoke. Again, enters that dark space of the heart, representing the self-centered mind, uprooting that. So it explodes into beautiful, brilliant white light. that goes out in all directions from our heart, totally filling these beings' bodies and minds, viewing them with happiness and every positive quality. Really try and feel that sense of connection with these beings. Of course, in reality, our life is dependent on a whole myriad of sentient beings, a lot of whom we never even meet. Think of our clothes, our food, our education, I could go on and on and on, the house we live in. We really are reliant on all these beings. And again, do that through a few rounds, again, breathing in. Away their problems and difficulties in the form of thick black smoke as that enters that dark space of the heart, uprooting the self-centered mind, as that explodes into beautiful, blissful white light that pours out in all directions. To fulfill these beings' wishes, giving them happiness and every positive quality. And we're now going to really expand this out further, and you can kind of go nuts here. Go as far as you feel you're capable of. Think expansively. We can incorporate all the humans in the world. And again, as long as they're enlightened, we'll be experiencing these similar problems, worries, fears, and so on. Not just humans, you can incorporate animals as well. Bring some specific ones to mind if you like. Think of all the animals in the world. Again, they're experiencing all sorts of problems to do with finding shelter, finding food, avoiding predators, finding a mate, and so on. And again, as you breathe in, you imagine you're taking all the problems away in the form of thick black smoke. Then enters that dark space of the heart, self-centered mind, uprooting that as that explodes into blissful white light and pours out in all directions, filling these beings' bodies and minds, viewing them with happiness and every other positive quality. And now we can take this even further still. We've concentrated on the earth. You can think about far reaches of the universe. Think about life on other planets, if that works for you. As again, from a Buddhist point of view, if these beings aren't enlightened, they'll still be experiencing problems and difficulties, similar to the ones we do. You can go to other realms of reality, if that means anything to you, other dimensions. So now it's in front, behind, to our right, our left, above and below. That's in every direction. Again, as we breathe in, taking away these beings' problems, the form of thick black smoke, enters that dark space of the heart, self-centered mind, uprooting that. That explodes into beautiful, blissful white light that goes out in all directions, imbuing these beings' bodies and minds, happiness, well-being, every positive quality. We try and feel that sense of connection to this whole myriad of sentient beings. And again, just do that for a few rounds. Okay. Before we move on to the final breakout discussion, are there any questions about that practice, or is there anything anybody wants to say about that or share regarding that practice? Elizabeth.
Obviously, I know a little bit Tomling for having coming across it before. Can we change the person for situation?
Can you give an example how you do that?
let's say, well, because I've mentioned it yesterday, like Brexit or COVID.
Right.
And so breathing in the negative, you know, from that and sending it light.
Yes.
That makes sense. So
it does. I don't see why not. I mean, generally that practice is taught to enhance our connection with other beings, obviously, as you know.
Yes, I know, yeah.
But I don't see why not at all. Yeah, I mean, the principle still works psychologically, I think, doesn't it, with the visualization? Why not?
Because it came to my mind, was practicing, because yes, okay, visualizing loved ones, but I thought, you know, this is a situation, as you mentioned, it can be a person who's been really rude with you recently. So what is the difficulties, you know, what obviously bringing difficulties in our lives and not only in mine, in everybody's. And I thought, because I've did that in other practice, sending light, you know, to a situation. That's why I was asking. I thought that could be it could be a way. So it came to me and I thought it would be a good idea.
I think it is, Elizabeth. I can see absolutely no reason why not. And if you find that helpful, I'd absolutely encourage it. I think it's a good idea.
I think it could, I mean, practically I invite people to try, but yeah, it can only bring light to the situation you're facing with this or that, you know. I haven't tried with health, or I can't remember, but thank you very, very much.
And if you're still incorporating the uprooting, the self-centered mind bit, that would be enormously effective anyway, is it? That's good practice anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, no, most definitely. No, thanks for that.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else? Any questions or anything anybody wants to share? No? Okay, I think we'll split up now. Then into breakouts again, Faye.
Okay, how many minutes, Martin?
Let's have a look at the time.
1 o'clock now. No.
I'll tell you what, we'll just make it 10 minutes this. 10 minutes.
Right, sure.
So try and ensure that everybody has a little say. Obviously, I'll trust that to you and your groups. But all we're going to talk about now is just share anything you think you've taken out of this, what we've been doing over the last couple of days. And particularly importantly, how you intend to put that into practice in your life at large. I think that's simple, isn't it? Is that okay? Is that clear to everybody? Do you still want me to write that up, Faye, so you can...
Yeah, I can post it in if you want to write it up, but I can.
We'll write that straight away as soon as you put them in the breakouts, then, yeah?
Okay.
And then we'll come back as usual. Again, can you agree one person to feedback? I'll still invite others to comment, obviously, when we come back, but it's helpful if one person definitely agrees to feedback, okay? I'll see you back in 10 minutes. Right, welcome back, everyone. Just before... we do the feedback. I'm just going to remind everybody that Faye has put up again that message. If you wish to be added to the list of participants sharing email addresses, let us know by contacting. And then there's the email there. It's that Zoom hosting at landofjoy.co.uk. So again, if everybody wants to be included in the group, just make sure you send an email to that address.
Obviously. Sorry, if they sent an email with that, did you say?
No, they haven't sent an email. It's posted up in the chat section. If you click on chat,
I can't see chat.
Bottom of the screen. Click on chat.
Ah, brilliant. Thank you.
You got it?
Yeah.
There you go. It's the last message there.
You two can chat, Rachel. If you write something, you can put something up yourself, for example.
Okay.
But as I say, just send an email to that with your email address and the one you want to be included, and then we'll have a group email. And mine will be included on it as well. One thing, Elizabeth, you might have had several copies sent to you directly of the discussion question.
Sorry.
For that discussion.
My fault.
But don't worry, it was a slight technical error. Did you get that? Don't worry. You might have received a message several times.
Yes, I did.
You did, right. It was just a technical hitch. I was going to say, don't worry about that. Yeah.
About the sessions, about the link with the session and the time and so forth. Well, yeah, I've received several messages. Well, that's
Right, I'm going to invite a bit of feedback now. Just to remind you, the question was to share anything you feel you've gained from this short course. And how do you intend to put this into practice in your daily life? So who's going to go from group one?
I'm not sure which group I was in, one or two.
You were in one, Susan.
Okay, then. Right. Well, I took some notes this time. So I remember. So I'll talk and I'll say something. So overall... a lot came different. Everybody had something different to offer. And one was about the anger, like what was the disadvantages of being angry. And by coming to the course, they could see that, you know, there was a lot of disadvantages of being angry, not to look at it differently. But they weren't sure how to incorporate it into their life, you know. And it's like trying to break it down into steps of recognizing it and how to go about changing that. And also the taking time to meditate, to start doing the meditation practice and then taking the time to reflect on what's going on within them lives and not to take themselves too seriously, you know. And the overall is being gentle with ourselves, because sometimes we're not feeling 100%. And if we have like anger or certain emotions towards people, that's okay as long as we don't act on it, you know. It's just letting things take its natural course in a way. And then what we discussed near the end would be lovely if, you know, hopefully when COVID's over and the centre's open, you know, meet up and have a day out, you know, stuff like that. And it's like everyone's reflected on, like people wanting to buy books, get more into it, look into it, and seek, look for further development of the self and ways of feeling happier with yourself, more content and compassionate towards yourself. And hopefully that can filter out to other people then. Yeah, and if anybody else has, I've missed anything out of the group, if they want to come in on or something.
No, I think no, thanks, Susan, that was great. I think the only thing is, what we've sort of said in terms of, Susan touched on, it'd be great if in a future date that we have a date that we all meet up at Land of Joy. I think, I can't remember who came up with the idea now, but within the group, but it would sort of be a really good idea if for those that want to and can travel to come up, and then if not, we just do a virtual bit as part of it, but it'd be great to meet everybody. We kind of all agreed, I think. So, yeah. Thank you.
You're muted, Martin. You're muted. One thing I wanted to mention, there's a summer gathering at Land of Joy. Correct me, Faye, if you know, but I think it's in August and it's a weekend.
Mm.
And
not sure of the dates. I know there's a summer gathering every year, but I'm not sure when the retreats will start for groups back.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the website, obviously. That's, you know, COVID depending.
What I was going to say, I mean, obviously it depends a bit on Land of Joy as well, and obviously their programming, but I'd be very, very happy to participate and help with something like that. If the group does feel, as a group, we want to move on, you know, with this, I mean, I'd be really happy. Also, if you wanted to do something on Zoom, are any of you actually capable of hosting Zoom? Because I don't do that. I must say, it's always been somebody else hosting it.
I'm sure you can do it.
I'm sure I could probably work it out, but I'd ask for another volunteer, probably. Mm-hmm. If we do it as a group. But that's something we can certainly discuss by email. What were you saying, Zoe?
No, I was saying, I think you should do it, Martin, so then we can all experience this anger that you talk about.
That's in the past now, Zoe.
I know, but you've not hosted a Zoom meeting, really. 14 people going. I can't hear you. What?
I mean, if that's helpful, and I don't mind giving it a go at least for one session, you know, and see how it goes. I'm sure they can give me good tips.
It's I think it's a really good idea. We'll definitely have a chat about that on the email. It's really nice to keep these things going. I think that's a good idea. Well, the other thing I wanted to pick up that Susan said is this not taking yourself too seriously. I think that's a really, really good point. And I find it is enormously helpful in my practice. A lot of the comedy I like, actually, is about the absurdities of egocentric behaviour. And I see that in my own life at times. And I think just laughing at ourselves can be enormously helpful sometimes in diffusing things.
Well, we're just so silly anyway, aren't we? We're just so silly. You know, we think ourselves far more important than we actually are in the scheme of things.
And then again, it's part of putting pressure on ourselves, that as well, isn't it? Mm. You know, we take ourselves too seriously. It's important. Okay, that was fantastic. Thank you. How about group two?
Me, I think, and I've got a few points that we made. The first one was that we enjoyed connecting to other people again. It's been quite difficult in the last few years, as we all know, and it's been joyful to speak to other people and talk about Buddhist things. We've said that most of the things that we've talked about, we've been able to look at it and think, well, I could apply that to various situations in my life, and that we're all going to be able to do that. And so that's been really helpful. Somebody highlighted that they thought the most important thing that was said was think about difficult people as a spiritual teachings. And we've chatted about that. We think that that really is a really helpful thing that we can do in the future. And then mantras were mentioned, and we talked about the Tara mantra, Om Tare Tu Tare Turi Turi Soha. And that's something we can take with us. Another point that was made was about being attached to things. There's a few of us thought it was a good way to start thinking about giving away more things. So that was something else. And I think the final one I wrote down was that made us all think about our meditation practice and refreshing that, really.
Right, that's good. Again, thank you. Terrific. It's very inspiring to hear this, I must say. I'll close just with a comment on the meditation practice, which is something I said yesterday. If you don't already have a daily practice, start small. It's really important that, I think. It's really, really important. Again, it's building up a positive habit. So pick something that you can definitely do and stick to. I would suggest initially, some people often say 10 minutes. I'd say 5 minutes if you're not used to meditating regularly. It doesn't matter. Find what time of day suits you. I mean, the morning is often recommended, partly because our mind tends to be clearer in the morning. And also it sets our stall out for the day. But some people find it more helpful meditating in the evening. You can do both, I mean, ideally, or at other times of the day. But just find what works for you and start small. But really try and stick to it. Really try and stick to it and make it a habit. You'll then find it's easier to build it up. If you start with too much, you'll find very, very quickly the habit will go. Yeah, I mean, if you try and do an hour every day, if you're not used to meditating every day, that's a long time. And it might be difficult to incorporate this in your life. And again, you lose the habit very, very quickly then. Whereas if you start small, as I say, it becomes regular and you build up on that. Okay, I think it's time to close now. I know Faye has to drive to Nottinghamshire this afternoon, don't you? What were you saying?
Just really quickly, when we do the emails, I don't know if Rachel and Tara want to give me their addresses, I can send their pictures to them.
I don't know. Shall I just put it in the chat, I think, because I don't know how else to do it.
Yeah, just whatever, just if you want, and just to let you know that the Robin has been named Derek by my daughter.
Are you going to send those out just to everybody on the group email, Zoe?
I can send them out that, but if the girls want the originals, because they were...
I see.
Right. But I'm going to scan them and send them and stuff, and I've got a commission to do White Tara next, so...
Right.
But yeah, so it's Derek. Derek,
the Robin. Derek, brilliant. So, Tor, I guess we could just wait till we get everyone's email addresses, then just email Zoe directly.
Yeah, do that way.
Exactly. Cool. Yeah, that's the easiest way.
Okay, yeah, cool. That sounds good.
Fantastic. We'll just do a short dedication now, and then I'm going to hand over to Faye, who's got a couple of things to say at the end. Again, it's always good to conclude any of our practices or any virtuosic activity with a little bit of dedication if we can. And the first thing, as I said at the end yesterday, is give yourself a little bit of credit for the efforts you've made over the last couple of days. There were lots of other things we could have done, which in a lot of ways might have been easier. And give yourself a bit of a slap on the back on that. Everybody in this group has brought an enormous amount into this course and retreat, which I'm personally enormously grateful. I think there's been some wonderful discussion and sharing. But let's think how any benefit that's come as a result of that may contribute through all the subtle workings of cause and effect, through time, towards the long-term benefit of all sentient beings. And I'd also like to mention here a special thank you, to Faye particularly. I mean, she's been amazing for me the last couple of days. And the day before when we were planning this. We really couldn't have done this without her support at all. And in fact, to everybody at Land of Joy, which is such an amazing facility. Everybody at Land of Joy, I don't know if people know, they're all volunteers. Nobody's paid at Land of Joy. Yeah, everybody there gives their time. And to provide such an amazing facility, which I hope some of you will be able to visit, for those of you who haven't already. Very beautiful, inspiring place. And also to thank them through Zoom courses like this for keeping things going through this difficult time. Okay. And I shall now hand us over to Faye, who's got a couple of things to say.